Horse Player Happy Hour is back, and we want you to play every Thursday. Go to horseplayers.com, sign up for $20. The house cut goes to charity, and you have three different ways to win your way in to the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. Plus, you can follow along with our live racing show. That'll be approximately 4 to 6 on our YouTube channel, social media, Breeders' Cup YouTube, etc. Join us for Horse Player Happy Hour, the best way to win your seat to the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show being recorded. Actually, this segment's being recorded on Thursday, June 13th. The show will drop on the 14th for the races of the 15th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, starting the show off up in Gallery 55 right here in Brooklyn, talking to a man in Manhattan. You know him, you love him. He's Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
PTF just got back from the American Natural History Museum. They had the coolest exhibit. I have to tell you about it. It was called Ice Cold, and it was in the section where the gems and stones are. And it is a collection that was compiled by Slick Rick of all of these rappers' old jewelry and chains. So like Biggie's awesome Jesus piece and like Rough Riders, and if you're an old school hip hop guy, people's grills. It was, I was in heaven for the 12 minutes we were in there.
I got to go check it out. Usually we just go straight to the dinosaurs, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that sounds really creative. Was there? So you said Slick Rick was basically like the help them curate it.
Yeah, it's him, and then there's some of Jay-Z's stuff. There's some of Run DMC. I mean, it's a really cool journey through like that culture, that jewelry culture that goes hand in hand with hip hop. It was appropriate. It was in like the gems and stones section, so like it made sense.
Yeah, it was fun. Very cool. I saw Slick Rick perform. It was meant to be the first game. I think it was supposed to be the first game ever at Barclays Center, or at least the first like Nets regular season game, which was against the Knicks, postponed by Sandy, but then eventually happened. And, you know, they still tried to make the pomp and circumstance out of it. And one of the bits of pomp and circumstance was having Slick Rick there. So it was cool. It was cool to see him. I think a lot of the crowd was a little, they didn't appreciate what they were watching maybe as quite as much as they should have. But I was like, this is cool. This is, you know, obviously I'm more of a rock and roll guy, but you got to appreciate the legends, right?
Actually, yeah. Look, this is a New York racing podcast we're talking here. So we're talking about New York hip hop. I think it goes hand in hand.
Let's dive into these races at the Big A on Saturday. JK, first and foremost, where will you be? You're on TV this weekend, or are you taking some rare off time after all the stuff you did last week?
Funny enough, I'm off on Saturday. Because Mark, my brother Mark, was supposed to, we'll stay with the music theme. He was supposed to play a doubleheader at the Brooklyn Mirage on Saturday, a day show and a night show. So I went ahead and took the day off. He doesn't have the day show, so I'm still just off.
but he will be playing at night.
He's playing at night. Yeah, he goes on at like 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So we're gonna try. We'll see. We're gonna try.
I would normally lobby to go to that, but given that I am on an 8 a.m. flight to the United Kingdom, I'm going to skip this one. But I have seen him in front of a very intimate crowd in Italy, of all places, but I need to see him doing his thing on the big stage at some point sooner rather than later. Because even the little bit I saw of him spinning was truly awesome. All right, let's get into these races. Belmont at the Big A. Race number 6 on Saturday. We kick this thing off with a 1 mile turf race for these maidens. Who's going to be on your tickets to light this candle, my friend?
Yeah, I need 3 horses. And I'm not sure if there's any entry situations here. I don't think there is.
Timeform US is final. If you want to go there real quick and save me having to correct you, because there is an entry here. One of them is an MTO. Deputy Mischief is the 1A. But yeah, if you're looking at this straight, you're gonna think that the 2 unit economics is the 1. But if you can, well, I stallify for you if you just log in.
I got it. I need the 2 and the 3. The two Chad Brown runners, look, they both make sense in here. They both have run well enough. They just haven't gotten there to get the maiden done yet. And then I want to make sure that I have Final Edition. I'm usually not a Wesley Ward, stretch out type, but this horse ran one time. He's an Uncle Mo, didn't show a ton of early speed. And I thought I wanted to make sure I had that one. So 2-3-9 is all I need to get started here.
I want to mention the number one, a horse called Then, that I think could pull a very nice trip. One of those runs first out where, to me, it looked like he was maybe figuring things out. Maybe he got a setup and was passing tired horses, so this isn't like some strong single or anything like that. But I thought the number one Then was worth including. And yeah, I had trouble seeing too far past those Chad Brown runners. I'm hoping that race six on Saturday ends up being as easy as 1-2-3. JK going 2-3-9 as we boogie along to race number 7, where we've got 2-year-old colts, maiden special weights. We're going 5 furlongs. We're stretching out to the 5 furlongs now in New York for these 2-year-olds. Another race where we've got an entry. Where's your eye drawn in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the top Todd Pletcher entry here. And hold my breath, right? You got a City of Light, Rapoli homebred out of Nona Bella. And if I'm not mistaken, and I just don't have it in, I wrote it down on another piece of paper. I'll look it up while we're talking. Nona Bella, that's like one of like Rapoli's like kind of blue hen mares that he's had. I think there's some crazy halves there. I just don't have the cheat sheet that I normally have in front of me. But I'll answer that while you give your choice here. And then Nudge. I want to make sure I have Nudge as well for Rapoli. Awestruck was a runner in her own right. And you got a little Uncle Mo there. You know, these 2-year-olds, it feels like one of these two is going to be able to definitely run.
I hear you, and I definitely want them, but this is another race where I'll go a little bit further than that. I thought that the debut of My Matoli looked pretty promising the other day. The horse was bet like a runner down to 2-1, ran a rock-solid race on debut, and just looked like the type for me with normal second-out improvement could be in the mix. The 1 and the 2 were definitely numbers that I was interested in. A horse I wanted to ask you about, I thought maybe is going to need more ground, but the number 5, Colloquial, I thought was a little bit interesting for George Weaver in this spot. That was one I was could maybe be convinced to use as more of a B type, but mainly I was going to be 1 and 9.
Yeah, well, I'm never going to talk anyone off of these Vacomas. When they show up in George Weaver's barn, and glad to see George's name backlisted on the trainer line. If you weren't following that news, won't get into it here, but glad to see his name back on the training lines. Yeah, I got no problem. I think he's going to probably attract some of those Vacomas. And my brain wasn't failing me when I meant Nona Bella and I meant City of Light. My fault. This horse is only a foal to the 2-year-old champion last year in the Kentucky Derby favorite Fierceness.
That's where that came from. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It took me. I knew there was something there, and I couldn't quite recall. It'd be interesting to see what the brother does out there on the track. Which what are we hearing about Fierceness? Is he gonna? Are they thinking Haskell for him? Or are they thinking a little bit more time?
They're thinking Haskell. What's that old Wally Pitt? I think that mind frame might not get his number one stall back in the old Rapoli Pletcher barn.
Oh, definitely not had he only run straight in the Belmont Stakes. But that is a story for another podcast. Actually, we did it up on YouTube and put the audio in the early week show if you want to listen. Race number 8, 3-year-old fillies, New York bred allowance types, going 6 furlongs on the turf. A race that looks like there is an adequate amount of pace signed on. I thought it would set up for number 10, Marco T, who didn't break great last time out. I thought maybe moved a hair early, just didn't move through that race efficiently at the grade 3 level back in here against the New York Breds. I was quite interested in Marco T. Not going to be a huge price, 5-2 in the morning line, but definitely one of the ones of interest. How do you see it?
Yeah, I love the 12 in here. This is a horse that's run very well fresh. Okay, back in April 14th, 2022, won first time out by 5. You can't get much fresh than on debut. Then comes back off a 350-day break run and wins by 3. now comes in off a 350-day break. Bruce Levine knows how to get this horse ready to fire. First off of a break, you're drawn towards the outside with Ricardo Santana. I'm going to single the 12. I feel like there's no one in our position, this whatever you want to call us, that we are people that pick races on TV or podcast, that singles more horses than I do in turf sprints. But I'm going to single the 12 there.
Let's move to race number 9, allowance race going a mile on the turf. And I thought it set up very nicely for number 9, Dude and Colorado. This one went to Maker last time, showed a bit more early speed, maybe ran a little bit inefficiently in the middle part of the race, ended up getting beat at Keeneland by a pretty good one in Evan Harlan. I'm not saying this is a much easier group than that race, but maybe a little. And again, just a horse that I thought looked like might be able to command things and look pretty good. Second time off the layoff here, stringing two races together for the new barn. We've seen Maker do this kind of thing a whole lot. Interestingly, another runner that I have my eye on is the one that was just claimed from Maker, not an angle historically that's great, but Rick Dutrow certainly been known to have good horses hold their form or occasionally move them up, even off very good trainers. A little boring in terms of the morning lines here. 5-1 on Dude in Colorado, 3-1 on Ocean Atlantique. Can you pull anything at a bit more of a price? Do you think I'm on the right ones? What do you think?
I'm going to use the 1 and the 9, but I also had to use the 2. Roos, who I thought ran extremely well last time, was extremely game. Back at Aqueduct 28 days ago, was down on the inside, and Operation Torch looked like was going to run right by him. And Roos just never would let that one by. Chased fast fractions, showed a ton of grit, and one that I wanted to make sure I have. Drawn well towards the inside again. I'm going to have to use 1, 2, and 9.
In that order, is that how I should list them for the In the Money Plus picks?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I think the 1's a more likely winner, but I need to make sure I have the 2.
Let's get on to the featured race of the day, the Grade 2 Bed of Roses, going 7 furlongs for these fillies and mares. Foring up some familiar names in this one, and very curious. I'm going to make you go first because I'm still torn a little bit as to exactly how I'm going to approach this one. Where did you land in the Bed of Roses?
Yeah, there's three horses in here that I want to make sure I use. I feel like I need to use Flying Connection off of the trainer change, getting into the barn of Rob Attriss. You know, when horses move to Rob, he can definitely move them up. The 9, Leave No Trace, who I thought ran extremely well in the Vagrancy. And you'll remember Leave No Trace was the spinaway winner for Phil Serpy. So she's got some back class, and she kind of lost her way to a certain extent, but got back last time and ran really well in the Grade 3. And then the 2, Big Pond, who I used that day, who I picked that day in the Vagrancy, she got a little bit far back. You look to her race 2 back in the Madison, and then the races out in California. I think that she's looking to take another step forward moving to Bill Mott's barn. I'm going to use the 2, 6, and 9, and we'll do it. We'll go 2, 9, 6 in that order, 2, 9, 6.
All right, let me make sure I get that right for the In the Money Plus notes. I'm going to list everything as an A unless you tell me it's a B. Big Pond is the one that I wanted on top. I mean, you made the case already. This is just a horse I think is going to really be able to sit a very nice trip in this spot and hopefully get enough of a setup. That setup may be provided by number 10, Begin, who I do think has an opportunity to be the lone speed in here. Everyone in this race, not everyone, 3 of the horses at least in this race beat Begin last time, but on the second off the layoff angle, off as a potential lone speed, I wanted to make sure that I had her in the mix as well. And then the other horse I was looking at that I will leave in the mix is another one you mentioned, and that's Flying Connection for all the reasons you said. So I'm going to make it officially 2, 10, and 6 as we get to our nightcap here at the Big A. And what do we got? We have New York Breds, fillies and mares, allowance types going 6 furlongs on the turf and an oversubscribed field. Some horses we've talked about on many, many shows showing up here. Who's going to get the money?
Yeah, I'm going to use 3 horses in here. I'm going to use the 2, Fancy Pants Juliana, for Dave Donk, who comes in second off a break. She had a 197-day break. And if you know Dave Donk, you know he's going to give us horses a chance to kind of run themselves into shape. Can't call it for Christophe Clément, one of two Christophs that I'll use. This horse ran extremely well last time, second time out, off of a long layoff, and won in a wire-to-wire fashion. When people like Christophe or Chad or Bill Mott get these forwardly placed turf runners, man, they always make me feel comfortable because you know they're going to finish. And then I wanted to have the 8 Beach Cruiser as a B horse, who I thought ran well last time, who was closing in into a pace that wasn't the fastest pace I've ever seen. Maybe he'll get a little bit more pace to close into this time. So I'll use the 2 and the 6 as A horses and the 8 as a B.
I was going to take a shot with Ghost Bustin' as a horse who I thought might be a move up on turf, being out of a Freud Dam by Bustin' Stones. Just looking at pace figures, might be able to be clear of a runner like Can't Call It, but we'll see. Different ideas we have of who might be the best speeds in this spot. And I liked your case on Fancy Pants Juliana as well, who I think really has an opportunity to sit the absolute perfect trip. Another second off the layoff, should be able to sit forward, has the ability to pass horses, and again, just might trip out beautifully. So that's how I'm going to close it out, 7-2. That's it for the Naira portion of this show, but JK will be back a little bit later to talk about Monmouth with us. JK, I'll see you in a minute.
Next up on the show, we bring a returning guest and somebody very important in the history of In the Money Media, because he was one of our very first supporters ever since the beginning. We've had a great time talking about the racing at Monmouth Park down on the Jersey Shore, and such a big part of that is Brian Skirka. Brian, how are things, buddy?
Pete, I am fantastic. Happy to be back. How are you?
Things are great. We had you on recently to talk about Pick Your Prize, and you made your 300 number and then some.
Yeah, it was unbelievable to be. We had 331 this year, so thanks to you, thanks to all the players. It's just, you know, I think this is probably year 8 maybe of Pick Your Prize, I want to say. And year 1, it was, you know, if we can get this contest to 200 on a consistent basis, it would be an absolute home run. So to be, you know, I think we got to 200 in like year 2. To be over 300 is just honestly unfathomable, and it's a testament to all the support of players and people like yourself and Steve Bick, and it's just amazing to be a part of.
I was going to mention Steve as well. I know he loves that event, and obviously he's just been a huge supporter of contest play in general, and has really in many ways carried the torch since, you know, I talk contests on In the Money, but not like I used to over at the old place with the letters. So it's good to have somebody covering it on a week in, week out basis. Speaking of contests, we've got a fun collaboration. We're not really involved in the contest side so much as we're going to be doing coverage of the last 4 races of this contest, similar to what we did last year, this all stakes pick 4 happening. But my listeners are going to be very interested in this terrific contest opportunity you've got going. I'll let you tell it.
Sure. So our next live money contest is coming up on Naira Bet's Haskell Day. That's July 20th. So what we offer this Saturday, being its Haskell preview day, we're doing kind of a preview contest, so to speak. So if you go to horsetourneys.com, you know, great site that runs daily online handicapping contest, we are offering a $1 feeder this Saturday, with the top 5 finishers winning a seat in that $1,000 Haskell contest. We're putting up the prize money, so it's, you know, we're seeding the 5 seats. It's, again, a $1 buy-in. It's pick and pray, all 12 races on the Monmouth card on Saturday. And it's basically as close to a free roll as you can get. One entry per person. Again, it's a $1 buy-in. You go in, you pick and pray our 12 races. The top 5 finishers get a seat in the $1,000 Haskell Challenge on July 20th. In that contest, we give away all kinds of BCBC, NHC seats, and cash. If there's anyone who is not a current member of Horse Tourneys, 1, you definitely should be. But 2, if you are going to sign up for the first time to play in this feeder on Saturday or any other feeder, if you use the promo code Monmouth24, that will get you $20 in site credit. Again, it's only if you're a first-time sign-up. I think you have to use that code by Saturday. You know, so the idea is basically if you're an existing Horse Tourneys member, the contest on Saturday is $1. If you are a new Horse Tourneys sign up, you can use this promo code, get $20 in site credit, and use one of those $20 to play in this contest. So it will literally be a free roll. But there's really no reason not to do it. Again, it's $1, and it's a free roll to try to get a seat into the $1,000 Haskell Challenge.
The way I'd put it, Brian, is we're paying the new people $19 to play in the contest.
100%. And one thing, I just want to go back to Pick Your Prize really quickly, because it's a point I wanted to make, and it's also, I think, a bigger point. So way back 8 or 9 years ago when we created Pick Your Prize, it was created based on surveys with players. You know, there was plenty of ideas that I had of what we wanted to do here, and other people here at Monmouth weighed in. But a lot of the, whether it was the buy-in amount or the wagering options or, you know, not including trifectas, whatever it is, a lot of the specific rules of Pick Your Prize were based on feedback from players. And I think the fact that it has proven to be such a success, knock on wood, just shows what happens when, whether it's a handicapping contest, a wagering format, a racing schedule, whatever it is, if you listen to your players, and again, not just blindly, you know, if you make decisions in conjunction with what's best for you as the business and what's best for the players, and you kind of meld those and come up with something that's good for everybody, to me, that just is the best way to do something. And I think Pick Your Prize is a perfect example. So hopefully, whether it's contests or things bigger in the industry, we can continue to do that.
I love that point, but you've got to give yourself a lot of credit, because one thing I've noticed when you do ask players, especially in contests, you will have contingents that are at loggerheads. I bet you there are people who, and they're going to be a small amount, but have you ever heard, I can't play and Pick Your Prize because there are no trifectas? You know, some people take the exact opposite of the more mainstream. So you've got to get in there and interpret the data and come up with something that's going to be the best for the biggest amount of people. But you're absolutely right. Something the industry needs to do much more of, and probably, heck, we at In the Money need to do more of, is listening to players to help create the kind of content they want. But it's definitely something that you deserve a lot of credit for too.
Well, I appreciate it, and I just try to be honest with you know, players. Please give us your honest feedback, and we'll be honest right back with you. And if there's a reason that, if you have a recommendation or a request, and there's a reason, whether it's financial or whatever, that we can't do that, we'll give you the honest reason. There's plenty of things that we absolutely cannot do, because even though it might be the right thing to do, whether, you know, it costs too much money or we don't have the personnel to do it or whatever. But,
you know, laws, technology.
Exactly. But we'll be honest with you and say, hey, you're 100% right. We should be doing A, B, and C, but for whatever reason, we can't. So we're going to get as close as physically possible, but you're 100% right. And we'll try to get to A, B, and C through another means. Just, you know, everyone have honest conversations and put everything on the table, and we'll do what we can. And we'll, if we can't do something, we'll try to do the best we can.
I love your attitude, and it's why you're one of the foremost contest directors out there. Let's get back to the Saturday contest for a second. First, I want to make a point about the $1 for something like this. Believe it or not, it works, I think, in a very big way into players' advantage by at least making people have to be committed enough to go through the process of making that spend. There's a certain subset of player out there, and we dealt with these, speaking of my old days at the place with the letters when we used to run contests. If something was free, these people, they come out of the woodwork, and you end up with like all these people who are not super committed, and then the contest becomes a little bit more of a crapshoot. By having to spend the dollar, you're still not asking players to do much, but they have that layer of commitment where they have to be into it enough that they're not just, you know, affecting the gameplay by being kind of random. So I thought that's a really good point. And then I also just wanted to underline that we'll be covering the contest. That's a big part of what we're going to be doing on this live stream. Obviously, we'll be going over these four stakes races, which came up very strong. I was very pleased. I haven't handicapped them yet. I will for the next segment with JK that we're going to be having also on this show. But I just wanted to get you to opine a little bit about how these races came up and share any thoughts you might have. And we hope people will follow us. Best way to do it is going to be on the In the Money Media
YouTube channel, and we encourage everybody listening to subscribe. We're making our big push to get up to 10,000 YouTube subscribers, and if you do that, you'll get a notification so you can follow along with the last four races. But it's Full Card Mama, so you got to get on Horse Journeys, get that account set up, get that free money, or if you've already got your account, pay the dollar and get involved from race one to the end of this terrific card that they put together down at Monmouth. How did you feel when you saw these entries come through?
It is amazing card. I was thrilled with what the racing office put together for Pick Your Prize. Whenever that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, you know, time flies. I guess 2 weeks ago was Pick Your Prize. That was a tremendous card. This is the best card of the year by far. I know it's a day that the racing office really targets, and that we as a whole track, you know, target. The week after the Belmont, you know, it's kind of a, I don't want to say lull, but, you know, just nationally, there's not as much, you know, big time graded stakes action as there was certainly last week with the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. So we've specifically targeted this weekend, full fields throughout the card. The rails are down on the turf, which allows for even bigger fields. One of the undercard races is a claimer on turf with 14 horses and, you know, no also eligibles, a full field of 14. Weather, knock on wood, looks really, really good. So there should be no rain in the forecast. So we should keep these fields together. From top to bottom, it is a phenomenal card. Kudos to the racing office. And the stakes, you know, as I said, are the last four races. You start from the beginning, as you did when we were waiting to come on. The Eatontown is race 9. That's a great race, but the races get better as you go. So it's not like, oh, the first race of the sequence is great, and then, you know, this race looks like a favorite. Like, the last race on the card is the Salvatore Mile. It's an absolute war. Very, very tough handicapping. Should be a great challenge and just something that I love when Monmouth, obviously I'm a homer, you know, so I love Haskell Day. I love when Monmouth is the focus, and I do believe that Monmouth has the best card in the country on Saturday, and should be the focus of everyone. Will be on America's Day at the races through our partnership with Naira, of course. We're very happy to have them on site. They've been tremendous partners. Naira Betts is the sponsor of the Pegasus, which is the prep for the Haskell, one of the races on Saturday. We'll also have America's Day or America's Best Racing here doing a little online broadcast live. So it's great to be kind of the focus between your live feed, the contest on Horse Tourneys, ABR here, America's Day at the races. It'll be exactly what it's set out to be, a Haskell preview day.
Terrific. Great stuff, Brian. Appreciate you. Go to horsetourneys.com, play in that contest, and then join us on the YouTube channel as we provide all the coverage of this loaded day of racing at Monmouth Park. Brian, we'll have you back soon.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate all you do.
Hello and welcome to the In the Money Media YouTube channel. PTF and JK back with you ahead of a really great day of racing at Monmouth Park. We've got four stakes. We're going to talk about special contests happening. If you go over to Horse Tourneys for just $1, you have an opportunity to win a seat into the Haskell Day Challenge. We're going to be doing some live streaming content. We'll put notes about that elsewhere. If you ever want to keep track of everything we've got going on at In the Money Media, the best way to do it is to subscribe to our free newsletter. I bet you thought I was going to say YouTube channel. I'll put in that plug in a minute. But our free newsletter really gets you in with all of our content, inthemoneypodcast.com/email. And yeah, I'll do the plug for the YouTube channel too. Thanks to everybody who got us up over 9,000 subscribers. Next stop, 10,000. JK, you excited about this? These four stakes at Monmouth? It's really one of the premier, if not the premier, signal in the country on Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. And with Monmouth's new partnership with us, it's America's Day at the races. It's even more fun to be able to be plugged in with what they've got going on. I've had two trips down to there, one with you, one without you. You know which one I enjoyed more. And looking forward to it.
We kick off with the Eatontown Grade 3 action for fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th on the turf. This was a race where I wanted to make the pace angle the thing. And maybe you'll call me a homer, but looking at how the pace figures play out, I know she went to the lead last time and was dominant in victory. This time around, I think she'll get a forward sit and can maybe finish. But our old pals at Black Type Thoroughbred and Reagan Swinbank, I thought Sacred Wish was definitely worthy of major consideration in the Eatontown. I know you've been a fan for a long time. Is she on your tickets, and who are the main threats to her?
No, I'm ice cold with Sacred Wish. And it's not just a homer thing. it's not just because I, you know, they're dear friends that are in the ownership. It's just that I followed her story. And what I think when you follow a horse's stories, it gives you a different perspective. If you look at her two best races she's ever run in her life, it was her last race and it was her coaching club American Oaks, where she almost wired the field but was beat by Wet Paint. Now, that was on the dirt, but my point is she likes being forward. Kendrick knows it. George Weaver knows it. Black Type Thoroughbred, Swinbank Stables, they all know it now, and I think she's going to be used that way. She's drawn towards the inside. I think she's going to be tough to beat, and I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to potentially seeing her in some big races up at Saratoga.
Do you think they want to be on the lead? I was hoping Stock and Pounce, just looking at how much other speed is in here. What do you think about when you talk about forward? Do you just mean like forward or do you mean in the front?
Well, that's the thing about Kendrick. He does really well that I think people misunderstand that he's a speed rider. He's not a speed rider. He's a forward rider. He gets his position moving forward, a phrase that Richie Migliori has used so often. He pops away from there. He'll be forward with her. And if someone wants to go ridiculously fast and take it, then he'll let them. But he's going to discourage them by making them know they're going to have to earn it if they want to be in front of them. That's one thing that Kendrick does well. I think that's what he'll do with Sacred Wish.
I think that sounds good. That gives me some confidence. I will say, I'll throw in the 7 Tax Implications as a B runner who I think could prove to be the best closer. I think if Sacred Wish goes too fast, attacks too soon, something like that, it could set up to be a race that falls apart. And in that case, that's the one that I would be looking for. Let's move on to our next stake race here. We've got these three-year-olds in the other Pegasus, the Naira Betts Pegasus, listed stakes, some familiar names in here, JK. Hades back to the races, Tuscan Sky, Otello, Domestic Product, our old pal C Streak, competitive race. Who do you like to win it?
Yeah, I'm going to go 5, 7, 8 in here. Singling Sacred Wish. I can get a little bit more coverage here. I'm against Tuscan Sky. Tuscan Sky was meant to run on Black Eyed Susan Day, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe, no. It was Preakness Day. Supposed to run Preakness Day. There was a Shug McGahee horse in there that won after an inquiry. But Tuscan Sky got scratched that day. To me, there had to be an issue. Now they're coming back in kind of against the plan. That horse is going to be bet very much. Hades showed a lot of talent early in the three-year-old year. I like that horse. I'll also, like I said, use the 7 Domestic Product, who I thought was very interesting in the Kentucky Derby. Had some trouble in there. This is a horse that's been Sierra Leone's work partner. And then Sea Streak. I like this horse. This horse is very impressive in the last race, the Long Branch. But not just that. If you're going to Monmouth and you happen to be around New York City, take the Sea Streak and then bet the horse Sea Streak. Another fun adventure that we had on the anniversary, Pete, of the last time Austin and I went to the Natural History Museum.
That's right. It is a great ride down there. We joked about Sea Streak's name last time, not just a hunch play. And I agree. I think this horse could get the absolutely perfect Stalk and Pounce trip. I want Sea Streak on my tickets for absolute sure. And Domestic Product, I think, is a horse that, you know, we made a wise guy case for the horse in the Kentucky Derby. I think I'm probably supposed to at least try to keep him on side in the Naira Betts Pegasus, which goes as race number 10, prep race for the Haskell, obviously. Next up, we have the Monmouth Stakes going a mile and an eighth on the turf with 150,000 in the pot. And again, some big, nice, familiar names, a robust field of 9 competing here. Who do you think is the most likely winner? I'll ask it that way for this race.
Yeah, for this prep for the United Nations that we'll see a little bit later this summer. There's 9 horses in the race. I need a third of them. I need Beatbox, who I thought was supposed to run significantly better, but I'm going to forgive this horse because of the soft ground last time at Pimlico. I'm going to use the 5 Siege of Boston. A horse has got a couple of really big runs, really big numbers for Jimmy Toner, and I know Jimmy doesn't get as many good horses as a lot of these other fellows do, but we know that Jimmy can absolutely train, and I think the Siege of Boston looks like a real one. And then the 9 Running B for Chad Brown, another one who I thought ran well last time, but I'm going to forgive because of the soft ground, and I'll use those 3, 2, 5, and 9.
Sounds to me like we have some similar angles in here. It was going to be the don't let the turf, the soft turf from Pimlico that day, put you off horses you like, and that led me right to Beatbox as a very likely one. Also, Running B, a horse that ran kind of inefficiently through that race and didn't seem to love the ground. Chad Brown, I don't know why, and it's not every horse, but it does seem sometimes like the soft turf can be kryptonite for his horses. Have you ever noticed that? Do you think there's anything to that idea?
Not necessarily. I think that the reason your brain probably does that is because his horses are always a little bit overbet. So when they don't run well, the disappointment sticks in your brain a little bit harder. That's my didn't think about it quick way I would answer.
This is silly because it's the kind of thing we could absolutely look at numbers, but I'm just, you know, it's not from my notes. I'm just giving you some ideas here. I'm just going to be a little bit quicker to forgive. It looks like the weather's going to be terrific down there on the Jersey Shore. I should knock when I say that. One more race to cover. Grade 3 Salvatore Mile. We're going, obviously, a mile on the dirt. Got some big names in here. A horse that I've always been a big fan of. Getting back to the dirt, sort of an interesting spot for number 4, Cheryl Spite, one that I want to mention, who I think will probably be a price in here off the confusing recent form. Not really confusing so much as just, you know, not necessarily up to par, but we're talking about grade 1 turf races, changing things up on the dirt. That's one that'll be on my tickets. Who do you like to close out this pick for?
Yeah, it's weird seeing Cheryl Spite show up as a horse who's so darn talented on the grass and has 0-2 on the dirt, gets back on the dirt. Look, I'm watching. I'm just not betting. I'm going to use the 2 Bright Future, who was kind of a, you know, a wise guy type of horse in last year's Breeders' Cup Classic. He's got some nice runs, but I have to have Arturius as well. Yeah. Arturius, a horse who I always thought was going to end up being pretty darn good, and he's just always had a lot of starts and stops. You look at his running lines, lots of breaks in there. He's been in his own way. This Son of Arrogate, I thought, ran very well last time, and it was odds on that day, but he ran well closing into a slow pace, and one that you might want to take a look forward to as one of those kind of older horse types that could actually grow into what we all thought he might be.
Yeah, I like that idea. I want to definitely be backing up with 2s and 3s there as well. That's going to do it for this piece of the show. The audio will be on the podcast side. Another way to get our content, if you're watching on YouTube and you want more, is to subscribe to the In the Money Players podcast. But whether you're watching or listening, definitely want you to get involved over on horsetourneys.com. $1 is what it costs. Have an opportunity to win your way into the Haskell contest. Go over there and play. We're going to have a live stream. A production meeting in the middle of the show, JK. We may end up being on at a slightly different time than I told you before. If you could join in, you will. If not, we'll see you soon enough. We see this guy all the time. It's okay. For JK, I'm PTF, and we'll be talking soon. We are locked and loaded with Royal Ascot coverage next week. So much good stuff happening. We've got a special video on the YouTube channel with Nick Luck and Vanessa. We're going to have daily free content over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, including previews of all 35 races from our man Stephen Bonnick, additional coverage from Barry Faulkner that's going to be absolutely worth checking out as well. And if you're an In the Money Plus subscriber, you're going to get the best bets each day from Rob Dove, one of the top 10 pro punters in the UK today. To sign up for Plus, InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus, but to check everything out, go to InTheMoneyPodcast.com and make sure you subscribe to our In the Money Media YouTube channel.
Next up on the show, we bring in a returning guest, been so great covering Hawthorne all season long on the In the Money Media Network. And when it comes to Chicago's hometown track, not many who know much more than today's guest. That's Jim Miller. Jim, how are things?
I'm good, Pete. I'll tell you, this is kind of an exciting time of year. We're getting into the turf season. We're adding races. We're about a month and a half away from a purse increase at Hawthorne, too. So a lot of good things are happening. So I'm really excited how the meet's progressing.
You told me a funny story off air. I was in Chicago for an afternoon. What was it? Last week? Yeah, last week. Time is a blur after the whole Belmont at Saratoga thing.
Yeah.
And I was helping Matt Miller with his audiobook, and I saw that this whole cicada thing is no joke. You'd posted something on social, but then you told me another funny story. Speaking of turf courses.
Cicadas are a real thing here. And when I say they're a real thing, I posted a video on my Twitter. One of our trees had no less than a couple thousand cicadas on it. And these things just, they've emerged from the ground every 17 years. They come out in full force. It's a constant humming. And they're going to be here for maybe 3-4 weeks. But my wife and daughter love the cicadas. They were checking for them every night. They check for them coming out of their shells, you name it. But what it did, it held me up over a week from being able to mow my lawn, because God forbid I mow over a cicada. That could not happen, Peter. So I had to wait. My lawn was long, really long and lush. It didn't look pretty, but at least there were a lot of cicadas surviving a little bit longer.
Horses would have enjoyed it, I bet, with the deep that deep cushioned turf that you have there. And if there's any of my fellow Long Islanders listening, wondering why I don't call why I'm not calling them cicadas, it seems like in your part of the world anyway, and probably the rest of the world other than Long Island, cicada the preferred pronunciation. Does cicada sound weird to you?
It would sound weird to me. I mean, that's like Len Cicada, the player for the Baltimore Orioles years ago.
I remember him well with the glasses.
It's amazing, but there's news stories, there's news outlets that do nothing but follow cicadas here in the Midwest. This is like a big thing. This is a real deal. I mean, every 17 years, I guess we'll deal with it. It's just absolutely nuts.
Pretty funny. We'll dive into this racing at Hawthorne, I swear, in a minute, but I do have one other little housekeeping bit. You guys are so known for your contests. The rules in Illinois, I guess, make it so that everything is always added to the pot, making it a great opportunity for players. And you've got one on the horizon. What can you tell our listeners about that? Who might want to come to Chicago, maybe catch the end of cicada season and play in a tournament?
Exactly. June 29th and 30th, we have the Hawthorne contest. And like you mentioned, our contests are really cool in Illinois. There's no entry fee. It's an open wager format. So it's a $500 bankroll for each of these days. You keep what you make. We cover multiple tracks, multiple wagers. It's an actual day of wagering at the races. So you can play multi-race wagers. You can really kind of build your bankroll how you would like to do. But we offer NHC seats for these contests. So on June 29th, there's two NHC seats. There's two entries into the Hawthorne Invitational on the 30th, which I'll get to in the second. On Sunday the 30th, there's three NHC seats, a Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seats. And then also on June 30th, we have the Hawthorne Invitational, which brings a lot of great players to Chicago. They're going to play a $2,500 bankroll. And this is a little bit more structured contest, but again, they keep what they make. But there's NHC seats, Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seats, Pegasus Challenge, Keeneland Fall, $10,000 on the line. So much stuff. So you can check the website, hawthornracecourse.com, get all the details right there.
Love it. And that invitational has been really fun. You've had a video element in the past. Is that going to be in play again?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have that again this year. We're going to have three hosts this year. So Emily Gullickson will be covering it. Ed DeRosa will be covering it. Mike Somich, who's a really good player, will be joining in as well for the coverage. And then we'll be streaming that on our Hawthorne YouTube channel. So definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I should talk to you guys. Maybe we can help get some attention, get a light shown on that, because, you know, we're all about this idea that eventually one of the things that can really help horse racing is more video coverage of the players. I mean, obviously, we love our equine athletes, we love our jockeys and trainers and those stories, but I think the kind of thing that could help get this sport into the wider betting public is shining a light on the people who are playing in the pools there. You guys do that with the Hawthorne Invitational. Let's pivot, my friend, to this late pick four. I have to say, I feel like I'm going to be giving a pace angle in every race. You've been doing a great job when we've done shows together of sort of helping point me to these horses that look on paper like they're going to be speed, who are going to be the real deal, versus some of the ones that might have like a hidden pace pressure or something like that. We'll start with race number six. We've got Nickel Claimers going a mile and 70 on the dirt. Good bread and butter stuff. And I was looking at number six, looking for Revenge in this spot, who I thought probably just went a little too fast the last day. Set the race up for a runner who reopposes in this spot. Not very gentle, but I thought this time might be able to secure that inside position, shrug off the likes of the number eight Flying Samurai, and maybe, just maybe, get the job done. What do you think of the sixth race at Hawthorne on Saturday?
Those are the two horses that you need to be on here. And here's the thing about it. With Looking for Revenge, two races on a wet track, you have a new trainer to the industry in Daniel Simonovich. He kind of took over the string of horses for his family at the end of the Oaklawn meet. What was interesting here, Peter, is it's the switch from David Cohen, who's a very good rider, to the Bug Girl, Rachel Slavinsky. So you get the 7 pounds off in the saddle. You go the two turns. You have some back class. I think Looking for Revenge is that pace horse in here who should be kind of grinding things out. And then Not Very Gentle is the other horse to look to. Alberto Burgos has been coming in from Indiana on the weekends at Hawthorne to ride for trainer John Heron, who's had an exceptional year. Those are the two horses in that race I think you can get out of there between Not Very Gentle and Looking for Revenge.
Let's pivot to race number seven. We've got another claimer, but a higher price claiming activity here. And we move on to the turf for these fillies and mares going 7.5. And this was one where the favorite to me looked as loose as she wanted to be. Number 7, All About Me. Not exactly the most winning kind in the world, 2 for 15, but has raced against some better competition. And for me, just looked too tough for these. Is race number 7 all about me?
I don't know if it is. And the reason I say that is just because the presence of the 3, Top Look, in the spot. And Top Look is a horse that's been sprinting this one's entire career. I think Top Look's going to kind of be sent away to challenge early on. And if that's the case, All About Me could be in the mix just based on the fact that you do have Cohen from Mike Stidham, who are coming in with intent for this race. But there's 2 horses I thought you could maybe throw into the mix as well. One of those is the 4. That's Dessert First. Alexis Centeno has been very good. Gets on a horse that gets back to the turf course, and Dessert First in the past faced much tougher company on the turf. I think that's a horse that might be rounding into form to be a factor. And then Miss River Rat. I mean, we talk about Chris Block with turf horses in Illinois time and time again. It's been some time since this one's been on the turf. But when the form's been really good on the main track, you kind of have to look and say, okay, maybe now's the time. They got through their Illinois allowance condition in their last out. Now it's open 17.5, which I actually think is a little bit easier than that last out. I think you can use those 3 horses in race number 7, and you'll be safe.
How would you grade them or rank them in terms of picks?
So for me, I'm actually going price first and working backwards. So I went Dessert First on top, and then the pace of All About Me, and then Miss River Rat. So I'm going to look to the price just because it's kind of that stalking trip. All About Me is your pace, and Miss River Rat probably going to close from a little bit further out there at the 7.5.
That makes perfect sense. If you're torn between horses, go with the one at the longer price. We're back to the 5K claimers for race number 8. We're back on the dirt going 6 this time. We've got these fillies and mares, and this time the pace angle looked like it might be number 6, Helen May's Song. What do you think her chances are of getting loose? This is a winning kind with 11 wins in 55 starts and banking over $100,000. Will that be enough to get it done?
I don't know if it's going to be in here. And here's the reason I say that. Only because you have a couple of horses in here that I think have no choice but to send. I think the 3 Lady Atlantic with the Bug Rider is going to send in there and push. And I don't think that horse has a shot to win. But then you have Superb, the 7 horse, who also was sent from the outside in that last out. But that was a race on the mud for both of those horses. And they benefited from a muddy track. I think they're going to push Helen May's Song in this spot. So for me, I'm actually looking to some horses coming from off the pace. And I'm starting with the 2, Essential Bella, on top. Essential Bella comes out of that same race as Superb in that last out. This is a horse that had to close from way back, was getting a whole lot of mud kicked into her face in that spot. And she still was rallying late. And she is going to be overlooked in here. And then I look to the 4, Heavenly Hash, and the 5, Style. Trainer Jan Arnett has been so good all meet long. He claimed this horse for $5,000 out of a race that really didn't have a whole lot of pace and was still victorious 2 back. Ran okay in a race where a horse just kind of stole it on the front end in that last out. I'm going to look to those 3 horses and kind of try to upset the pace setters there in race number 8.
I think it's a logical approach for sure. If that heats up a bit, you could definitely see some of those runners coming running down the lane there at Hawthorne. We close out with a maiden special weight for fillies and mares going a mile on the turf. This one, we've got some unexposed form to deal with in the form of these first-time starters. I've got half an idea, but I'll throw it to you for the key question when it comes to this pick 4 at Hawthorne on Saturday. How are we going to get paid?
I think we're going to get paid by going a little bit of experience and a little bit of lightly raced. And when I say that, trainer Fausto Gutierrez has 2 in here, and I'm actually going to the longer of the 2. That's the 6, Off the Lamb, in this spot. Only for this reason, Off the Lamb has already made the ship to Hawthorne on this meet and run very well. And that was that race back on May the 12th. Had a really kind of soft turf. It was a yielding turf course, but had a lot of give that day. They went really slowly in that race, Peter. And this horse still rallied late, finished 2nd, beaten only in neck. So I'm going to use that one on top. And then it'll be the 2 Chris Block runners. The 1, Deal Him and Weep, who on the inside gets Mojica aboard, who's kind of Block's go-to guy on the turf. First Lasix for this one in the debut, but they're going to have to send away from the inside with a shorter run into the first turn. So I think they'll be looking for position in there. And then you have the 8, Cross Anna, who's completely the opposite type of runner. This one will settle well back early on, come running late in the lane. Almost got there in that last out. This horse was last at the top of the stretch and was beaten a half length when all was said and done. Pick up a strong finisher in David Cohen. It will be a firm turf course this weekend too. So those are the 2 blocks I'm going to use, and then I'm going to use Off the Lamb for those 3 horses in the finale.
6-1-8. I was with Team Gutierrez in here, went with Argon on top off the pace angle, but respected off the lamb. Certainly that idea of having the race over the track can often be an important one. And yeah, that's an interesting race. I was going to ask you about the pace in there because of the yielding turf. Like Timeform actually had that pace coded as fast, but it didn't really look that way on the tape. You do think that was maybe a little bit better of a run than it looked, rallying into the pace that was holding together because of that off turf.
Yeah, I do for sure. I mean, it was a weird turf course that day because there were some horses that were just flat out not handling it and other horses that were. And it's because Hawthorne has those tighter turns on the turf course with the longer stretch. So I think it was just kind of a mix that day of who really handled it, who didn't. And there were also a lot of unknowns in that race back on May 12th, some horses that may not have really been familiar with turf or may not be at their best on the grass either. So I think this is going to be a much more formful race.
Jim, great stuff. Always a pleasure catching up. We will be talking soon.
All right. Watch out for those cicadas, Peter.
America's Day at the Races returns this Saturday on Fox Sports to cover the Belmont at the Big A Spring and Summer Meet. Tune in this Saturday to watch 11 exhilarating races headlined by the Bed O' Roses Stakes. Join JK, Maggie, Acacia, and the Fox team for live racing, expert analysis, expert picks, and more. Bet on the races using Naira Bets. New members get up to a $200 deposit match. It's nonstop fun at Belmont at the Big A. For showtimes and the TV schedule, visit inthemoneypodcast.com/TV. Next up, a report from Contest Land, specifically the first universe of Contest. They had a big one last weekend for the Belmont. There's another one coming up for Santa Anita Closing Day. We'll review one and preview the other, and we'll do that with Tyler Frausto, a first. Tyler, how are things, first and foremost?
Everything's great, Pete. We're ready for a nice closing weekend at Santa Anita Park. Some full fields and some pretty nice cards.
Yeah, the racing's been good, and you know, here to close out the meet, and it's nice to finish off on a high note for Contest Players. You guys, I feel like, have been running more contests than ever. Are you generally happy with the program and the way that things have gone this year?
Absolutely. I mean, there's always things that we could change and make better. It's all for the players. So any suggestions that they ever bring to me, I always take them to heart. But I'm always interested in what we can do better. And we are actually bringing apart that new contest, which is the California Crown Betting Challenge. That will be in September for our new California Crown Day at Santa Anita Park. And it's going to be in the same likelihood as like Pegasus is. So I'm excited to bring that to the table. But we're going to see how that does. We already have about 10, 12 people that have fed into that already.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned Pegasus, because when I was speaking to Peter Rotundo for another project, I didn't quite put two and two together, not always being so quick on the uptake, that this California Crown Day is now becoming what was sort of teased by Belinda Stronach. Maybe it was last year, the idea of a West Coast Pegasus. That's what they're trying to do with this thing. I assume that means there's going to be expanded entertainment, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing I know for sure that it means is an emphasis on a great racing product and a bigger contest. Does that, as a first employee, does that all sound right to you? Am I talking out of school with any of that, or is that basically the deal?
No, absolutely. We try to bring together some fashion, some music artists, some celebrityism, and some like really good food culture together with a great day of racing is what Pegasus is, and that's what this is aiming to be as well.
The food element's getting me excited already, knowing how much I love the food out there in the San Gabriel Valley. I've got to book off that weekend now and make sure no other clients request my presence, because it sounds like a lot of fun. And this California Crown Contest, this isn't just something that's being added to the package for laughs. It's something that's going to be a really cool contest, and that is an opportunity, right? In addition to Pegasus seats, you can also, or instead of, win California Crown seats in some of your First Bet Express Bet events. True or false?
Correct. As of lately, I've been allowing people to choose whether they want Pegasus or whether they want California Crown.
Excellent. Let's look back before we look forward, and we'll go back to this Belmont Stakes Day contest. Give us the skinny on the people who won the big prizes and anything you know about how they played.
Awesome. Yeah, we had 176 people join us for that contest. So thank you to all the horse players that participated. I really appreciate that. We have James Zaccanino, who won the contest. He really did like Doorknock, and he made a play on Doorknock in the last race there that took him to the top. And
his final score was 16,500, which got him a prize money of 21 grand. Nice. So, I mean, that's not a bad choice right there. He won a BCBC seat alongside that. And then second place, Bill Shenvert. We have Vic Stauffer, Jay Coada, Gwen Houston, Chris Podratz, and Frank Mustari. We're all winners of prizes.
Those are some big names. I'll tell you what, Jay Coada, who we just had on the show and was great, by the way, he did some handicapping with us too. He has been on fire, and he's really only been in the contest world for the last couple of years. So, boy, the heater he's on. And it doesn't sound like any accident, a guy who blends some of the old school stuff with some interest. I think he's doing some pretty simple computer modeling at this point for the contest play, but has ambitions to do even more. And that's a name to pay attention to. And then you get a blast from the past with Gwen Houston, who was, I believe, very active in the early days of the NHC Tour, and a name you see on leaderboards from time to time. And then, you know, some others from the who's who. You know, you see that Mustari name, you know, you got some serious Chicago participation. And that number was great, especially because, you know, you were going head to head against our friends from NYRA. So to get that number, and also on the heels of having so many other contests, I think it just shows that people are paying more and more attention to the contests you have cooking out there, Tyler.
Absolutely. And I'm not tunnel visioned at all for the most part, or at least I like to think I'm not. We're here to put on contests for the players. I mean, if you want to play a track that's not ours, we're more than happy to provide that as well. And we partner up with other tracks as well, such as Brian over at Monmouth.
Yep.
We tend to host a lot of his contests on our site on ExpressBet. So, I mean, we're open to do whatever we can to make the players experience the best we can.
The best place to go to get all the information you can feed in, I would imagine, on Saturday to the Sunday closing day contest, expressbet.com/tournaments. Let's hear a bit more about this Sunday closing day contest. What bankroll level is it, and what are we looking at in terms of a potential prize pool?
Yeah, so on Sunday, we have the closing day challenge, $1,500 bank or $1,500 buy-in, $1,000 bankroll. And our prizes are actually going to be much like the Belmont. We're going to do two NHC seats, and we're going to do two NHC seats to allow for tour points, of course. And then we're also going to do prizes of Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge or California Crown Betting Championship. So we're going to have each of those allowed there. So play away. We're hoping for a good turnout on this one with the card being so nice. I'm hoping for at least 125, maybe more. We'll see what happens. And yeah, the rules are standard. Win, play, show, exacta, trifecta, daily doubles, and play at least five contest races. So it's a pretty standardized contest format, I think, for our contest lately is how we kind of run things.
Yeah, people have been into it, obviously. I love that you mentioned before. It's funny, we had Brian Skirka on earlier in the show, and he similarly said, solicited actively feedback from players, always looking to hear ways to potentially make things better, and not every suggestion can be listened to. Many of them are contradictory, in fact, but it's always good to have contest directors, people like Tyler, people like Brian, who are out there wanting to hear what the fans have to say. So with Santa Anita closing, do you go into a little bit of a contest lull for a while? Do you have anything over the summer that people should be paying attention to, or should we start talking about the California Crown qualifying that will be happening over the summer?
We should definitely be aware during the summertime. Come check out on expressbet.com/tournaments. We will have more feeders going into the California Crown. We will have them on both the horse tourneys and on our site as well. So throughout the summertime, be aware of that. We will have more contests going. No problem on that. Yeah, but I mean, like you said, and like I said right now, the best way to keep up on that, just check out that page. Easy to access, usually a nice grid right there. Tells you what the contests are, what the buy-ins are, what the prizes are, so you can find out the contest that fits your need.
Love that idea to be able to do these the live money feeders too. That's a very cool element that you guys have really developed over the course of the last couple of years. Just out of curiosity, and I'm committing the cardinal sin here of asking you a question that I haven't prepped you for and don't know the answer to, but what kind of participation do you get in those smaller buy-in events that can that can feed and qualify into the bigger ones?
We get a lot of participation, actually. We the little $40 feeders are a nice way to just, you know, you just open the doors to all level of play. And we even get some of the bigger guys that usually will buy in anyway. They'll still play in the $40 to try to earn their way up, sure. Which is what I've done in the past at like Del Mar on horse tourneys. You know, you could do that, and it's more fun that way.
Right? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's not, yeah, of course you could just buy in, but this gives you a reason to get the blood pumping a little bit on a Thursday or a Friday, right? And that's how I look at it.
Absolutely. And in my head, how it works is it actually helps a customer build confidence. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. And we've noticed that before. We've had people participate in the $40 feeders consistently, jump in on that week after week, and then earn their way up to a 500 and then not qualify up. Then they play in them again, and then they'll actually just buy into the 500 at some point. So you could tell that shows a little more confidence in their play and understanding of the tournament. It lets them dip their toe in before they dive full face.
Dive into the pool. What about the rules in the $40 ones? I mean, is it a similar format? Can people like basically just pretend and pretend that they were adding a zero on and that relates one to the other, or do you do a different format for the lower buy-in?
That's actually a really good question. Thank you for that one. It is in a win place format. So how we usually do these is the same standardization that we've had at Santa Anita for a while. We have a $40 contest at Santa Anita Park on track with smaller entries, but I'm which is great. If you're on track, definitely participate in that at the Thoroughbred Center, now the First Reward Center. But it's five races you pick at $2 win place, or it depends on the level of feeder, but usually it's a $2 win place format, and you have to pick five races of your choosing that you think are most valuable to accumulate the highest balance.
I mean, that's a great format. Back when I wrote the winning contest player, one of the contests I played in regularly were those low rollers, probably when I met you, Tyler, out there, you know, in your early days at Santa Anita. And it is a very good format. I mean, different, strategically quite different, but just a really fun way to get action throughout a race day and to turn a you know, sort of your average race day into one that you really might remember for a long time if you get any kind of result in it. I wonder if there is any validity to the idea of trying to have an even lower bankroll format that mirrors the bigger one once in a while, just to get people used to the way that they have to bet. That would be I don't know if I'd go so far even as to call it a suggestion so much as something to consider in terms of just trying to on-ramp more people where they feel comfortable in these bigger level bankroll tournaments. Obviously, First are at the forefront of running contests, and you guys do such a great job, Tyler. Obviously, you're a huge part of it, and we thank you for coming on the show today.
No, thank you for having me, and thank you for that suggestion. Yeah, we're always open to new ideas like that. I mean, obviously, when you make a live money bankroll one too small, you kind of like it makes it difficult to actually have some action to move up. But you could always eliminate or micro-size the entry fee, which is sometimes what we try to do too. We try to keep the entry fee a little lower and the bankroll a little higher so that we can have more fun and people come up on top more.
Great stuff. I appreciate everything you're saying and your time today. We'll be talking soon, buddy.
All right. Cheers. Thank you for having me.
Last but not least, we return our attention to the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs, where we're going to look at the late pick five on this Saturday card. To do it with me, we bring in one of our regulars, does such phenomenal work for us over there at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. You should be reading his and our other contributors' free daily tips and analysis on that website, and you're going to hear him here. He's Eric Solomon. Eric, how are things going?
Doing great, Peter. How are you?
Excellent. In very good mood, getting ready to make this trip over the ocean, enjoying all the great racing stateside, and just curious to check in with you before we dive in out of the frying pan into the fire a little bit, end of school year, but you know, the baseball gig for you gets even more intense, I imagine, as well as all the summer parental responsibilities. How are you feeling as the summer begins in earnest?
We're doing good. We've got pretty much all the days kind of lined up over the next 2 months, so we're ready to go. This is the best time of the year.
It is pretty exciting. I love it. This weather, when it's hot but not disgusting, is like kind of my favorite. I mean, really, I like it a little cooler, but it just bringing back those memories and going. We actually had a thing. Today was parents' last day, so they did a little school play,
And boy, the energy in a school on the last day of school, if you could bottle that and sell it, you wouldn't have to do any other work. Let's put it that way.
That is, truer words have never been spoken.
Let's dive in. Race six, maiden special weight, fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth on the dirt. I'll go first because I'm very boring. Number two, Let's Talk About Me, seemed to have a lot of the attributes based on that last run, going the mile and a 16th and was sticking on pretty well there in the manner of one who I thought would have no problem at all with the extra distance. Pedigree suggests the same. Can we get creative? Can we get past number two, Let's Talk About Me?
Well, listen, I think there's an awful lot of positives, and 4 to 5 is, it's probably the right number there. Here's one thing I did come up with. Taking 4 to 5 on horse, the trainer Troy Green only has one win outside of West Virginia or Ohio in the last 5 years, and then that came with a 5,000 non-winners, a 2 claimer at Turfway. Interesting. So his horses have really struggled at Churchill. Now, I kind of went back and looked through to see, this horse really on paper looks like one of the better horses that he's had. And this is one that he started with, where a lot of the other horses he's come here with are claimers. I'm definitely going to use this horse, but I'll take a shot here. You use a second time starter for Dallas Stewart, flawless quality on the outside. He's 0-for-28 at the meet, Dallas Stewart, but he's a trainer, and his horses always seem to pop at strange times, big numbers. Second time starter, it was a dull debut, but did catch a sloppy track when sprinting on Oaks Day. Her dam had success on the turf, but one of her other four other foals won first time route was on synthetic. I see Quality Road is the breeding here on the sire side, so there's definitely more of a dirt oriented pedigree on the father side here. This one, to me, worth a shot, second time starter here. I'll use those two horses, the 2 and the 6 on the A-line.
It's a good case. I mean, second time starters, Spencer Luganbuehl talks about this a lot on Red Board Rewind, a show you've been on. It's one of those categories that you can almost specialize in because they can, from time to time, provide value. Maybe this will be one of those times. As we move on to race number 7, we've got stakes action in the Chorleywood Overnight Stakes, going a mile and 3/8 on the turf, with some familiar names in here in the form of Web Slinger, Tawny Port, Stone Age even. Very curious to hear where your money will be going.
Yeah, I know I'm going to be against Bold Act, who is the morning line favorite for Charlie Appleby. And, maybe it's at my own peril, playing against his horses in North America on the turf. But I just didn't like what I saw from this horse in the last two races in the Elkhorn or the Louisville. Seems to kind of find his own trouble. Really hard horse to ride. I'm just not convinced. I think this race came up tougher actually than the Louisville in general, which was a grade 3. So I landed on Web Slinger. I think this is a horse that I'm really excited to see get that longer distance here. It will be the first time he's going this far, but I liked his effort in the Belmont Derby last year. I know he's kind of the horse that a lot of people have been chasing for a while, at least on my end, I think he's got to be glad to not be seeing program trading for a little while by stretching out here. I think he's been facing better horses. I think he's going to be closer to the pace than he's been. And, when you look at his win in the American Turf on this course, it was a little closer to the pace than it normally is. I think he's going to sit a good trip. There's not a ton of pace in this race. I think he gets the distance no problem. I like him a good amount here. Tawny Port, I was looking at in this spot, but then I see that this one is cross entered at Monmouth, in the Monmouth Stakes there, on their card. And my guess, I haven't seen anything. I don't know if you have either, but my guess is that they drew this race first. I think he's going to go there, as opposed to this spot. It could be prepping on the local course for the United Nations. And honestly, it's an opportunity to get a graded stakes win. That field came up a little bit soft. Opportunity to get a graded stakes win on turf. This is already a grade 3 winner on dirt. So I'm going to guess that Tawny Port's not racing here. I would use him if he does wind up here. But Web Slinger's my lone A. I'll put number 4 Stone Age on the B line. New trainer, second off the layoff. You know, the back class is certainly there. It was second to Rebels Romance in the Breeders' Cup Turf 2 years ago. I think this horse is better than we saw last time on synthetic at Woodbine. And also going to use the 10 Segoy, who won the Louisville Gate to Wire. Just kind of finds another race where there's no pace here. And this horse has won five out of his last six. Kind of one of those Mike Maker reclamation projects on the claim. Just kind of kept finding in the Louisville. I do think this is a tougher field, but there's just not a lot of pace here. So I'll back up with the 4 and the 10 and make Web Slinger my lone A.
I'm with you and against you. I definitely see the case on the 2 Web Slinger. It's been a minute between drinks for him, but I felt like he was against the flow last time, and I think it is interesting to see what he can do going longer. The Maker, you know, second off a claim, already won a graded stake. That looks like lone speed. I mean, there's too much with Segoy, but I actually did pick Bull back first, and I'll make my case. And I agree, the tapes haven't looked great, but I just feel like you can also make a case that this horse is kind of a double flow move up, in that felt like he attacked in a fast pace a little bit too early in the race last time. I mean, really didn't really have an excuse, but subtle pace dynamic things made me want to give another chance. I think with a more even run and a little bit less ground, which he gets today, he could be seen to better effect. And then the race 2 back, breaking poorly, slow pace, and at least was sticking on pretty well at the end. I thought there was too much. Maybe I'm being an Appleby fanboy a little bit there, but I had this one 6-2-10. You've got the 2 as the lone A, with the 3 if he goes 4-10 as backups. Let's pivot to race number 8, $40,000 claimers, going a mile and a 16th. We've got a field of 9 signed on for this one. Who do you like in here?
All right, I'm on 2 horses here. Top pick is going to be the 5-horse System Change for Eric Reed. I was kind of initially seeing if I could play against this horse, but I do like. This has kind of been a successful move for him as a trainer with a claim and a little bit of a layoff. You know, horses that he's brought back, you know, within 4 weeks of claiming them, none of them have come back to win. All of his, I think he's had 8 winners with 52 horses that he's claimed, 59 horses that he's claimed in the last 5 years. All 8 of them have kind of come off of this kind of move, this layoff. So this is a horse that looks to have a pace and a class advantage in this race. I think the trainer change, even though, you know, Chad Brown to Eric Reed, I don't see that as an issue. I think this horse makes a lot of sense here. And then also going to use the 7. I thought it's an interesting long shot here. Number Texas Red Hot. Let me see. I put my notes on this horse on the wrong page here. So
I hate it when that happens. Coming into the claimer for the first time.
I know. I'm used to working with a notebook, and I only had a legal pad to go off, and then I skipped a page, and it's I'm all over the place.
I know how that goes.
So I'm willing to toss the last one for this horse. I just think that was a tough field. Face Disarm, and that was just a ridiculous race from a pace standpoint. 25-2, 52 seconds for the half mile, 4 horse field. It just was kind of a merry-go-round. Once he realized he wasn't going to keep up with those, you know, Bayerano just kind of took the foot off the gas pedal there. He's better than that race. This is some class relief for him. I do like the race 3 back at Oaklawn with time-restricted 40,000 claimers, closed a ton of ground and got the win there. And that was a pretty good field that he beat that day despite the time restriction. So I'm willing to give that one a shot there. Those are the 2 for me, 5 and 7 in this race.
We're basically singing from the same hymn book, at least as far as the top pick goes. Systemic Change, the 5 runner, makes all the sense in the world. Chad Brown often will give up on these types because his barn is full of graded stakes horses. So if there's one that's a good claimer, they're going to let another trainer try to have some fun with that one. And that might be exactly what's going on with Systemic Change. Should be able to get a great setup for that late run. The other one I was going to mention, I'm sort of thinking like you, I guess, in terms of looking for another who might be coming from off the pace. I landed on number 3, Yono, for that role. Tom Amos off the claim, but I felt like this horse was going to be able to flash some run late. And if they go too fast, if Systemic Change attacks too early, maybe this one sets up for Yono. penultimate race, race number 9, starter allowance for fillies and mares. We're going a mile and a 16th on the dirt, and this is another race that looked to me that like it should set up for a closer. I was going to reach for one at a little bit of a price who was not a closer the last day on the turf, but I feel like that was off a couple-month layoff. Horse may have been a little fresh, clearly went too fast early. Looking at a pace map here, I wonder if Birdie Rose can get more of a stalk and pounce type trip, getting back onto the dirt for the first time in a long time. Has not shown much on the dirt, but I think she's just better now. I don't know. I was thinking we might get double-digit odds, and Birdie Rose might get an absolutely perfect trip in this spot. Another one coming from off the pace I was interested in was the 7, Low Country Magic. Going to try to get out of this one with the 4 and the 7. Where are you?
Yeah, I can't blame you for taking a swing in here. I ended up with Low Country Magic as the top pick. I just think lightly raced, 2 starts, both at 2 turns, now makes a 3rd career start. Should take have a forward move here after winning on debut. That the 3rd place was a pretty good effort last time, and then I think the pace, like you said, should, you know, figures to be a little more aggressive in here. I do think the 3-horse Yo Puedo is interesting. You know, could very well be a pace casualty in this race, so I'm going to kind of temper my expectations. But I do, you know, there's a Robert Medina kind of has a familiar pattern with this horse, where it kind of starts with a sprint and then goes to a 2-turn race. You know, we saw that on debut, and then ran a better race second time out to win with 50,000 maiden claimers in 2022. Comes back at Hawthorne in a sprint. Runs okay, but runs much better at Keeneland for a second start off the layoff. This year, he made his first start since August in a 6.5 furlong sprint here with starter allowance or company, and actually ran a pretty good race that day. So if we follow the patterns that she's followed, she could move forward again. And if she moves forward 6 or 7 buyer points off that, that puts her right in the mix of this field and probably is good enough to win this race. So while I don't love the pace scenario, I think this horse could be sitting on a bigger effort here and might just be better and might just kind of either go to the front or be comfortable stalking. I'll put those 2 on the A line, the 3 and the 7, and then I'll back up with Generous Lover, who pretty consistent, is trying 2 turns on the dirt for the first time. So that is a question mark here, but could be, you know, that turf, you know, you look back at that turf race that she won at the fairgrounds, that stalking trip might get the run on the closers in this race. So 7, 3, and 1 for me on the B line.
Let's go to our nightcap. We're a little pressed for time, but we won't have to give this one too much short shrift. I'll go first. I thought Chad Brown and Restless Dreamer looked really good in this spot. This is a horse that I really felt like just ran a little bit too quick in the middle part of that race, going the mile and an eighth. I think shortening up a little bit, the outside draw, I think will hopefully allow for Gaffleone to get this one in position just behind the closers, maybe a little bit more of a stalk and pounce as opposed to an attempt to clear might just be the medicine for number 11, Restless Dreamer, who I like to close things out. But how about you, my friend, when it comes to this late pick 5, how are we going to get paid?
I'm going to try and beat the brown horse. I like Kimber Spice. I like that race at Keeneland 2 back. There's 2 really well-meant first-time starters that won that race. And I thought she ran well to be 4th that day. Draw a line through the last in the slop in an off-the-turf race. I think this horse has a forward move in her. Also use the 5 and the 7, Moonlight Gambler. Another horse with a really good effort at Keeneland coming from off the pace. It was kind of took the short end of a 3-horse photo on the line in that race. Wasn't great on this course, but again, that was a good track. It was a little softer, I think, than she might like. And Pin Up Betty was really good, and we saw her come back to win the Regret 2 weeks ago. And then a pellet makes a lot of sense in here. She was narrowly lost to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Turf winner, hard to justify on debut. I thought her Jessamine effort was better than it looked on paper. So I think this horse makes some sense coming back in her 3-year-old debut in this spot as well, getting back to facing maidens.
3, 5, and 7 to close it out for Eric. Thank you so much for joining us, my man. We'll be looking for your work over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com.
No problem. Hey, have a great trip next week.
Thanks, buddy. That's going to do it for today's show. I want to thank all of today's guests and sponsors, especially our founding partners over at 10 Strike Racing, very exciting to see all the good things happening with the purple and black these days. So happy Clay Sanders and Marshall Graham have been with us since the very beginning. Great to hang out with them and some of their partners who I'd never met before at Belmont last weekend. Belmont at Saratoga, that is. Also, Kim Weir and Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. Great working with them. So happy we're raising money for them through our Horse Player Happy Hour games. Had a chance to see the place in person. It was awesome. I look forward to spending much more time there this summer. Thanks, though, most of all to all of you, the listeners, the viewers, for making these shows so much fun to do. The show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatel. May you win all your photos. Just me.